Shini Kumara brothers fought with Vishaparva. Sun god fought with the 100 sons of Maharaj Bali, headed by Bana, and the moon god fought with Rahu. Demigod controlling air fought with Puloma, and Shumba Nishumba fought the supremely powerful material energy Durga Devi, who is called Bhadra Kali. Vishakapistu Jampena Mahi Shena Vipavasu Ivala Savata Pir Brahma Putrai Arindana Kama Devina Durmarsha Ukala Machivi Sahar Vihash Pratisho Shanasa Narakena Shanaishara Maruto Nivata Kavachai Kaleyar Vasava Mara Vishwe Devas Tupalo Mai Rutra Kura Vishai Sahar. Oh, Maharaj Prikshit, suppressor of enemies, Arindama. Lord Shiva fought with Jamba, and Vivavasu fought with Mahishasura. Iva, along with his brother Vatapi, fought the sons of Lord Brahma. Dharmash fought with Cupid, demon Utkala with the Matrika, demigoddesses. Brihaspati with Shukracharya, and Shanaischarya, Saturn, with Narakasura. The Marats fought Niva, the Kavacha. The Vasas fought Kalakeya demons, Vishadev. Demigods fought the Paloma demons, and the Rudras fought Krodhavishana demons, who were victims of anger. Mukkam karati vachalam pangam langhayate girim yakipantamam vande shi gurum timitavinam om jnana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamai shi gurave namaha. So we have a long list of names here. So today we're going to speak about the who's who among the demigods and demons, because some of us may not be acquainted with who they are and what their accomplishments are and who is fighting with who. But before we start, we'd like to especially mention among the personalities is Yamraj. And not only is he one of the personalities on the battlefield today, but he is also amongst us today listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, because Sutta Goswami, the sages of Namishiranya, they invited Yamraj to come and sit in the Bhagavatam class. So generally he does come. And while we're in class, we don't have to worry about death, because he is sitting here amongst us. And not only is he sitting, he's going to hear his glories today a little bit. He's fighting with the demons. And so that, the beginning of that verse in 1st Canto, 16th chapter, verse 8, is that as long as Yamaraj is here, we don't have to worry about death. And the end of that verse is that living beings who are under his deathless nectar in the form of this narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Aho nri loke pieta hari lilamrita vachaha. So all you human beings, those who are born as human beings, please come and please hear the nectar of the deathless pastimes of the Lord. And you will also be free from death. So now we will hear the first group of opponents here is Indra and Bali Maharaj, very famous opponents. And not only that, Indra and Bali have a constant rivalry going on. If you read Mahabharata, their rivalry is there. They're always taunting each other. Somehow or other, Bali Maharaj is sometimes getting the reverses, and Indra taunts him, and the other way around. So in this battle, in the next chapter, Indra will taunt demigods. The demons will be losing, and the demigods will be winning. So that is in the 11th chapter, verse 6. And so Indra says to Bali, "Today with my thunderbolt, I, the same powerful person, shall sever your head from your body. Although you can produce so much jugglery through illusion, you are endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Now try to exist on this battlefield with your relatives and friends." So what will Bali Maharaj say in reply to that? He said, "Huh, Prabhu, you are in Maya, because you think that you are the powerful one and you are going to kill me, but actually it's not you. You're so attached to victory. But learned people, they're not attached to victory and defeat. So that proves that you're not learned." So Bali Maharaj is always preaching to Indra, just like Vritrasura used to preach to Indra. Because Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan, of course, at this point he's not yet there, but he's getting there. At the end of this canto, by the end of this canto, he'll be recognized as a Mahajan. And so we actually have two Mahajans, three Mahajans on the battlefield. We have Bali Maharaj, we have Yamaraj, and we have Lord Shiva also on the battlefield today, fighting with the demons. And Bali Maharaj also in the fifth canto, he said, he felt sorry for Indra. He said how pitiable it is that although he's learned and powerful, and his guru is Brihaspati, he's completely ignorant considering spiritual advancement. Because Brihaspati also is not intelligent because he didn't instruct his disciple properly. When Vamana came to beg at his door, Indra, instead of asking for pure devotional service, he asked for the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. And this is insignificant because whatever opulence you get, it only lasts for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. So Bali Maharaj and Indra, they're always fighting with each other one way or the other, either verbally or physically. And here it's physically. Now the second group of opponents are Kartikeya and Taraka. Kartikeya is the son of Lord Shiva, and he's the general of the demigods. He became Samba in Krishna Lila, and he became Achyutananda in Chaitanya Lila, Achyutananda, son of Advaita, who is also a combination of Lord Shiva and Mahavishnu. And who is Taraka, who he's fighting with later on in Ram Lila, and he was disturbing the sacrifices of Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra came to beg King Dasharath to give Ram to fight the demons. So that's who Taraka is. And Taraka is fighting with Kartikeya. Mitra and Varuna are usually together. And Varuna is the demigod of the seas, also disease, and the western sky. And I saw what his carrier looks like. His carrier looks like a sea monster, with like almost like an octopus. So he would be part of the navy fighting in the ocean, fighting in the ocean or in the water, and because he'll be traveling in the water. He's fighting against Haiti, and Mitra is fighting against Prahati. Now, this Haiti and Prahati are Rakshasas, but they're not ordinary Rakshasas, because when the sun god travels in his orbit, in his cycle, then one of these Rakshasas accompany him in one month of the year, Haiti does in one month, and Prahati in another month. So they are even accompanying the sun god, and they are the protectors in his entourage. So then we have Yamaraj and Kalanaba. Kalanaba, we know Yamaraj, and Kalanaba is a son of Hiranyakashipu. And then we have two architects of the universe fighting with each other. Now this is amazing. Let us hear the accomplishments of Vishwakarma. First, he built the thunderbolt to kill Vritrasura. He built Indra's palace, which and Indra's whole city, which Hiranyakashipu occupied. He built Dwaraka for Lord Krishna. He built the Pandava city of Indraprastha. And he built Sutala for Bali Maharaj, which is free from fatigue, mental and bodily miseries, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. And he carved the original deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. These are the accomplishments of Vishwakarma. And one more thing he did amongst his creations in Dwaraka was Nava Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan in Dwaraka, New Vrindavan. Now, Maya Danava, what are his accomplishments? He built Yudhisthira's assembly house when Yudhisthira came here. And he brought a club for Bhima and a conch shell for Arjuna. So how did this come about? How did this demon serve the devotees? Because when the fire in Kandava forest was going on, then Krishna and Arjuna were killing all the demons and all the snakes and everybody who was trying to escape the fire. So this demon was very intelligent, and he took shelter of Arjuna immediately. And Arjuna said, okay, I give you protection. So then the Sudarshan had to stop chasing him at that point. And out of gratitude, Maya Danava came to Arjuna and said, what can I do for you? I want to do some service. You saved my life. So Arjuna said, no, you go and serve Krishna. And Krishna said, no, you go and serve Yudhisthira. So Prabhupada said, the moral of the story is that by the mercy of the devotee, you get a chance to serve Krishna. And by the mercy of Krishna, you get a chance to serve the devotee. So Maya Danava, he served the devotees by building the assembly house of King Yudhisthira. Now, what else did he do? He built Shava's flying city, Soba, which Krishna destroyed. He He built three cities, invisible cities, of gold, silver, and iron for the demons, which Triparari, Lord Shiva, destroyed. And he lives in Talatala, full of mystic powers, protected by Lord Shiva. That's beneath Sutala. And when Lord Shiva destroyed the cities, the triple cities, and killed all the demons, the Maya Danava revived them from a dead in a nectar well of water. So these are the accomplishments of these two architects, and so we can imagine what kind of fight they were having, probably creating different things, and who knows what they were doing. Then Tvashta and Shambhara. Tvashta is famous for giving the Narayana Kavacha to his son Visharupa, who gave it to Indra. And later, Tvashta was the father of Ritrasura. And during 1 month of the year, he takes the position of the sun god and travels around in the orbit of the sun. He's fighting with Shambhara, who is the son of, he's actually listed as a son of Danu or son of Hiranyakashipu. And he learned black magic from Maya Danava, Shambhara did. He's a friend of Kamsa, and he kidnapped Pradyumna and was killed by him in Krishna Lila later. So all these demons will be killed, but then they'll be revived again. So it's like kind of the computer games that you have so many lives. You die, and then you again get born. So it's kind of like that in heavenly planets. They all die. They fight, they die, and then they get revived. So they go on. And so Surya, sun god, is fighting with Bali Maharaj's father and Bali Maharaj's 100 sons. He's fighting the whole family of Bali Maharaj, except for Bali Maharaj. So Surya, I would like to explain some of the glories of Suryadev. He's called Purna because his rays have no end in time. He's called Paramahansa because he keeps everything sterilized, especially dirty things within the mind. So Prabhupada said, if you get a lot of sunshine, then the mind remains clear and transparent. So he helps the mind to become situated on the level of Paramahansas. He enlivens all living entities with his heat and light, and he enlarges the path to the heavenly planets, and he diminishes duration of life of all living entities to release them from their illusion of material attachment. So he's fighting with Virochan, who's the son of Prahlad and father of Bali Maharaj. Now, who is Virochan? He was very affectionate to the Brahmins, and when the demigods came to beg him in disguise of a Brahmin, they begged him for the duration of his life, and he gave it. He gave his life to the demigods, who were disguised as Brahmins. And who, the son of Bali, Banasura, we know he was fighting with Lord Krishna, and Krishna cut off all of his arms but four, all of his 1,000 arms. Now Aparajita is fighting with Namuchi. Aparajita is another name for Durga, actually. I looked it up so many places and always says it's a name for Durga. And Namuchi will be killed in the next chapter with a foam weapon by Lord Indra. Ashwini Kumaras are fighting with Vishparva. Ashwini Kumaras are the heavenly doctors. And in the universal form, they are the nostrils. They are in charge of all the herbs, Ayurveda. They learned spiritual science from Dadichi and became Jivan Mukta. So Dadichi, we know he gave his bones to make the thunderbolt to kill Ritashura. But before that, he promised to teach the Ashwini Kumaras spiritual knowledge. But Indra heard about it, and he said, no, you can't teach them. They're only doctors. They're not full-time demigods. They're not on the level as we are. So then when they came and asked Dadichi, then he said, how can I teach you now? Indra's going to kill me. They said, don't worry. We'll cut off your head and put a head of a horse on. You can teach us. And when Indra comes to kill you, he'll cut off the head of the horse. We'll put your original head back on. So that actually happened. He spoke through the horse's head. And they became Jivan Mukta. So then again, another thing the Ashwini Kumaras did is Chaivana, a very old wrinkled sage, he married a very young girl, maybe one of like our Guru Kuli's age, or, you know, teenager, even younger. And she was 12, and he was what? A few hundred years old, maybe a few thousand years old for all we know. Yeah. So he was very, very old, and he was living he was living in an anthill, I believe. And so he wasn't very sightly. And so the Ashwini Kumaras gave him youth. That was another thing they did. And again, so then in return, they asked, can we drink some soma ras? which only the demigods are supposed to drink, and they're not entitled. So then, yes. So Chaivana performed a sacrifice for King Saryati, and he gave the somaras. He was about to give it to the Ashwini Kumaras to drink, and Indra came with his thunderbolt. He wanted to kill Chaivana, but Chaivana Muni paralyzed Indra's arm, so he couldn't do anything. And so they got to drink the somaras. So this is the Ashwini Kumaras. They're fighting Vishaparva. He is a king, disciple of Shukacharya, father of Sharmishta, who was actually given in marriage to King Yayati along with Devayani because they had a fight. So Sharmishta, disciple of Shukacharya, had to give his daughter as a servant to Devayani. So that is, he's fighting with Ashwini Kumaras. So then the moon versus Rahu, we know all about that. Rahu is the son of Singhika, who is the sister of Prahlad Maharaj, and he's a great demon. So there must have been some eclipses going on at this point in the battle, and moon and Rahu are fighting, and sometimes Rahu gets the upper hand, and the moon is eclipsed, and then again the moon gets the upper hand. So these things were going on. Vayu, the wind god, was fighting with Puloma, and Puloma is a son of Danu. Shumba Nishumba, I couldn't find their names in the folio, but they're probably on the internet if you want to find out. They were fighting with Durga, and they were killed by her. And Shrivati Siddhanta Saraswati describes some very interesting things about Durga. She has 10 hands representing the tenfold fruitive activities. She rides on the lion representing her heroic prowess. She tramples down Mahishasura representing subduer of vices. She is the mother of two sons, Kartikeya and Ganesh, representing beauty and success. She is placed between Lakshmi and Saraswati, representing mundane opulence and mundane knowledge. She's armed with 20 weapons, representing the various pious activities enjoined by the Vedas for suppression of vices. She holds the snake, representing the beauty of destructive time. Such is Durga, possessing all these manifold forms. She's possessed of Durga, which means a prison house. And when jivas begotten of marginal potency forget the service of Krishna, they're confined in the prison house, citadel of Durga. Wheel of karma is the instrument of punishment at this place. And the work of purifying these jivas is Durga's duty. So she's fighting with Shumba Nishumba, who will be killed by her. Shiva, Lord Shiva Mahajan, is fighting with Jamba. Who is Jamba? He's a father of Kayadhu, who married Hiranyakashipu. So Kayadhu's father, Hiranyakashipu's father-in-law, is Jamba. And later he'll be killed by Indra in the next chapter also. So then Vibhavasu is fighting with Mahishasura. Vibhavasu is one of the eight Vasus. We know who they are. Mahishasura will later be killed by Durga. And Prabhupada talks about him, that he's struggling with the weapons of Maya, and he'll be a failure, but still he's thinking, ahankara vimudhatma, I will be successful. I will conquer over material nature. So Prabhupada said this is like the so-called scientists, the asuras, are planning, we shall do without nature's control. So this is Mahishasura. Now the next group is Ilvala and Vatapi brothers, fighting with all of Brahma's sons, who are all brothers. So who? Ilvala and Vatapi, they are sons of a brother of Prahlad, Halada. They are sons of Halada, and their mother was Dhamani, and they had two sons, Vatapi and Ilvala. Now, these two boys were great demons. What they would do is they would, one would take the form of a Brahmin, Ilvala, would take the form of a Sanskrit-speaking Brahmin, and he would cook his brother Vatapi in the form of a ram. And he would feed it, he would invite sages to his house, and he would feed his brother. But he knew how to revive his brother, so as soon as the sage would eat, he would say, Vatapi, come out, come out. And he would come out, and the sage would die. So that was their program for Yovala and Vatapi. That was their fun. So, but one time, the demigods, they went to Agastya, they said, please, can you do something about these demons? So, yes. So one time Agastya accepted the invitation of Ilvala to eat. And after the meal, the grinning Ilvala called for his wicked brother to come out, and Agastya burped, and he said, I've already digested him, and he's gone to Yamaraj. So He's finished. he's gone. I digested him. And then the angry Ovala sprang forward to kill Agastya, and Agastya looked at him with his eyes and burnt him to ashes. So that was the end of Ovala and Vatabe. Hopefully forever, but you never know with these demons. And they keep coming back. And so this Ovala and Vatabe were fighting with Brahma's sons. Brahma's sons, Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vasishtha, and Daksha. So they were fighting together, these brothers. Now, most interestingly, Brihaspati and Shukacharya were fighting. Jupiter and Venus, the gurus of the demigods and demons, were fighting each other on the battlefield. So how they were fighting, I don't know, but the two gurus were fighting. They were also involved. Everybody gets involved. It's not even the gurus aren't peaceful up there in the heavenly planets. And so it's not a good place to go. Because even the gurus are fighting each other. Saneshchar, Saturn, is fighting with Narakasura. So Saneshchar is the son of Vivasvan and Chaya. And Narakasura is the son of Bhumi and Lord Vishnu. And so we know Narakasura, he kidnapped so many 16,108 girls and kept them imprisoned, and he was killed by Krishna and later attained Sarupya Mukti. And he became a demon by the bad association of Banasura. Now the Maruts and Nivatak Kavachas. Maruts are brothers of Indra, sons of Diti, and the Nivatakavachas were sons of Danu. They are fierce demons who dwell in the womb of the ocean in forts. And they were later killed by Arjuna when Arjuna went to the heavenly planets and Indra sent him to kill them. So then we have the Vasus and the Kalakeyas fighting Vishwadevs and Palomas. So the Vasus we know, again, Bhishma, Uddhava, Drona were best of the Vasus. And they're fighting with Palomas and Kalakeyas. And these are, again, demons, sons of Kashyap, Palomas, Kalakeyas. And the Vishwadevs are sons of Vishwa, who were grandsons of Yamaraj. So it's all connected. Everybody's connected together. And then the last ones which I've researched are the Rudras and the Krodhavasas. So that's a good combination there. And they're both very angry and they want to destroy. So who are the Rudras? There are 11 Rudras, expansions of Lord Shiva. And when it's time for destruction, they come out between Lord Sankarshan's eyebrows when he becomes angry. And they altogether devastate the whole creation. So these are the Rudras. And they're fighting with Krodhavasas. And these Krodhavasas are Yakshas and Rakshasas who guard Kuvera's place. So these two groups. So everybody's evenly matched here, pretty evenly. And they're having a good battle. So what is actually happening here? The demons and the demigods fighting. It's actually a combination between the modes of nature. As we hear from Bhagavad Gita, there's a competition between the modes, and sometimes goodness is prominent, sometimes ignorance, sometimes passion. So here, especially later on, we'll see how sometimes the demigods will be ahead, sometimes the demons will be ahead. In the Bhagavatam 7th canto, it explains that when goodness is prominent, the demigods and sages flourish. And when passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. But the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart, he's giving the reactions of these different modes to the different people. As we know in this particular Leela, when everybody got tired, then Lord Vishnu went in the heart of the demigods as the quality of goodness to help them fight. And this was in churning the ocean of milk. He went into the heart of the demons as the mode of passion to increase their passion. And he went in the heart of Vasuki as the mode of ignorance. So all of them were tired in the churning. And at that time, Lord Vishnu entered their hearts. So in this way, the Lord enters different types of people and makes them prominent. So how does it appear? Sometimes the demons are prominent. Even here now we see how it's Kali Yuga and the demons are becoming prominent. So it's actually, according to Jiva Goswami, it's the Lord acting accordingly. And they want to fight. The demons want to fight with the demigods. So it looks like the Lord is going away and disappearing. He's making them so strong. Why is he making the demons strong? Because the Lord is also there as time. And time is called Tat Anu Guna. It follows the modes, actually. Time follows the modes. But actually, If you study the purpose of creation, you can understand that time favors the mode of goodness. Because the purpose of creation is to get everyone back to Godhead. And the purpose of creation is to favor the devotees who want to go back to Godhead. That's the whole purpose of creation. That we're here for some reason or other, we fell, we went away, and now we want to get back. And therefore, Vishnu wakes up Maya and wakes us up at the same time so we can engage in our activities to go back to Godhead. So there is a time for goodness, a time for passion, a time for ignorance, but time actually favors goodness. And we should understand that demigods and demons is not a matter of external appearances. It's what is your consciousness. We cannot understand who is a demon and who is a demigod just by externals. As you know, the Lila Vritrasura, he looked like a demon, but actually he was a devotee. And in the pastime in fourth canto, Daksha looked like a demigod, but he was committing Vaishnava aparad to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva looked like one of the demons. He was dressed, he was in the crematorium with all this ashes on him and dressed with skulls. I mean, looks like a demon. But actually, he was a great devotee. So you can't judge by external appearances. So the Lord's mercy is open for everyone, and it doesn't matter who you are. All of us can benefit from the mercy of Krishna. But as we said before in the last class, that there is the modes fighting within us. As Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, there's two dogs fighting. So which dog is going to win? Does anybody remember? The one you feed the most. Yes. So we have the material dog and the spiritual dog fighting within us. And who will win? The one we feed the most. And so what to do? We should feed the dog that's the spiritual dog, actually. We should try to do that. As Prabhupada said, we wake up in the morning and we think we have so many problems, but we only have one problem, and that is how to accept Krishna. And his mercy is coming for everyone. He's coming, it's open. But Prabhupada says in his purport of Queen Kunti that we are reluctant to accept the mercy. So that is something to think about. What kind of mercy are we reluctant to accept? And that is for devotees to think about. So I would just like to finish the class by giving the example of one of our devotees who is no longer with us. His name is Jayananda. And how he fought with the demons and how he conquered the modes of nature. I'd like to give a few examples. Now, there's a remembrance by Vishok Prabhu, who wrote a book about him. And this is Jayananda. Jayananda was there for all of us. He shunned even the mere shadow of any semblance of position or praise or reward. He was completely free of personal ambition. He led the men and women on the personal level, right out there on the front line of activity. He was right there in the thick of it, leading the charge. He did not sit back and send out orders like a modern army general. In many ways, Jayananda was like Bhishma Dev. He was huge physically and a great warrior like Bhishma on the battlefield of Kali Yuga. He was the Maharati commander of Lord Chaitanya's army, who could take on several Akshahini divisions of Kali single-handedly. Jayananda could not sit still. He had to be out there in the field, out in the front line. He showed us how it is so sweet when the leader is there with all the devotees. So one time a demon was there at his Rath Yatra site. He used to build the Rath carts. And the demon was throwing garbage and swearing terrible words as he was throwing the garbage on the Rath Yatra site. And so what did Jayananda do? He just walked and started, with a smile on his face, he just started walking towards the demon. And the demon started backing away, and then he just ran. Just by seeing Jayananda with a smile on his face. But that was one way he fought the demons. He didn't have to do anything. He just had to look at him. It was so powerful. And another way is one time near the Rath Yatra cart site, he invited Keshava, who is the temple president of San Francisco, to step inside a bar and meet some friends of his. They walked inside, and immediately some 25 faces looked up and smiled brightly at Jayananda. Someone said, "Oh, this must be your friend you were telling us about, the temple president." They presented the two devotees with a sack full of vegetarian groceries which they had chipped in together to buy. So this is Jayananda conquering the modes of ignorance. So that is the challenge of our life, to follow in the path of Mahajans like Jayananda, like Kladini Mataji, like so many devotees who are following sincerely the path given by Srila Prabhupada. even to this day. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes it's been asked that Prahlad Maharaj was a pure devotee.
Right.
And how his son became a demon, Virochana, and then even his grandson, Bali Maharaj. In fact, Bali, he was actually the leader of the demons also.
Yes.
This question is asked from time to time.
Right.
I don't know if you could.
Yes. Say. Well, Prahlad was also a demon. I mean, externally, Prahlad was a demon. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls him a demon. He says, among the devoted daityas, I am Prahlad. He's a demon. Externally, by his physical identification, Prahlad's a demon. His son Virochan and Bali Maharaj, they're in the family of demons, so that's their identification. And so as a demon, it's their duty to be demon. I mean, you know, to do what they have to do. They're king of the demons, so they have to fight with the demigods. But you have to examine the consciousness of Prahlad. Even Virochan, I told the story, how he gave his life to the demigods when they came in disguise. He knew they were Brahmins in disguise. So is this the activity of a demon, to give his life to the enemy? No, they were not demons. It was just a matter of, that's what they're born as. We were born as demons also, of course. But our guru, Srila Prabhupada, he advised us not to remain demons, but to give up everything and to serve Lord Krishna. So we did that. Now, Bali Maharaj's guru is Shukracharya, and he's following his guru very nicely. But of course, his Shiksha guru is also Prahlad Maharaj. And so that's why Bali Maharaj, although he's born in the demoniac family, he did give everything to Vishnu, to Vamanadeva, when he came. And Vamanadeva is staying at his door as a guard. And he doesn't stay with, he's the brother of Indra, but he stays with Bali. And so who is a demon and who is a demigod is according to your consciousness. It's according to your heart. It's not your external, even your external activities. So Bali Maharaj has to act as a demon. He has to fight the demigods. But we can understand apichet, saracharo, bhajate mam, ananyabhak, that he worships Krishna unhesitatingly and constantly. Therefore, he's sadhu. He's a sadhu. So that's an example. Even you may perform abominable activities, like Bali Maharaj has to fight with the demons and even kill the demigods and kill them. But because he's always thinking of Krishna, so how can you always think of Krishna and fight with the demigods? That's the duty that in the Varnashram, even they follow their duty, whoever they are. I'm a demon. Vritushara was the same thing. I'm a demon. It's my duty to fight with Indra. I'm created for that purpose. But he's preaching to Indra, it's your duty to kill me. They said, what kind of a demon is he? He still had his prema, Krishna prema. And so before we hastily judge, we should see the consciousness of the people. Yes. Yes. Yakshas and Rakshasas.
Yeah, so they're extreme demons, is it? And are any of them ever having modes of goodness or attaining Krishna prema?
Well, the Yakshas and Rakshasas are demons, but they have a purpose too. They're the guards in Kuvera's abode. And Kuvera is a demigod. So they're servants of Kuvera. And Kuvera is a devotee. So therefore, they get some benefit there by serving a Vaishnava. They're guarding his kingdom, Yakshas. And there's a universal form of Krishna, and everybody has a part in that universal form to play. So their role is protectors of Kuvera's abode. So nobody goes up there who's not qualified. Like if someone wants to send a spaceship there, you know, or something, and they'll get it from the Yakshas and Rakshasas. Or somebody with their mystic powers tries to go there and they're not qualified then. And they get Bhima. Bhima went up there, and he was a human being, so-called. So they fought with him, and Bhima killed them. So that was an example in Mahabharata, how they were just doing their duty, but they were fighting with Bhima, who is just up there to satisfy Draupadi. But anyway, that's a long story, so you can read Mahabharata and see how they were fighting with Bhima. And they were doing their duty. Their duty is a very important thing in Varnashram and in most of the universe. Everybody does their duty. And our duty was different. Our duty was to follow Srila Prabhupada and give up everything and just spread Krishna consciousness. So sometimes in the course of our duty, we neglected our material duties, a lot of us, to our families, to our whatever. So many material duties we neglected. But that was our duty. Our duty was to neglect our material identity and just follow Srila Prabhupada. So they're following their guru, except, of course, Bali Maharaj neglected his guru at one point, and he got cursed and everything happened, but he followed his guru, because his guru told him to worship Vishnu. And then when there was a contradiction, then he neglected his guru. And that's why he became a Mahajan. That's why he became a Mahajan. When his guru taught him something different than Krishna consciousness, then he neglected his guru. Yes?
This pastime actually took place during the sixth Manu.
Sixth Chakshishaman Mantra.
This pastime took place. But also, does karma comes every in every Manu? He comes. The pastimes of karma comes in every Manu.
Okay, I don't know, but you would find the answer to that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because some avatars are lila avatars and they come every time, and some are not so prominent and they don't always come. And so you could find that information, I believe, in Adi Lila chapter 5. Where it does analyze all the different incarnations and which ones are permanent and which ones are temporary. I don't know offhand. Yeah. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.